It's still uncertain as to who will start at quarterback for the Chicago Bears this Sunday, but defensive coordinator Ray Horton is preparing his defense for either one.
They didn't practice yesterday, and I haven't seen any reports out of Chicago. You know, if you're listening to Coach Tressman, it's his job, I guess, when he's healthy. So, you know, obviously we've looked at every game, and we have to prepare for both. And that being said, both of their quarterbacks are playing at a high level, and McCown statistically has actually played better, you know, and they seem to be in sync. And he's got it seems to be a really good relationship with the wide receivers as far as timing of the routes and stuff. So, you know, they have a little bit of advantages. You know, we don't know which quarterback, but the good thing for us is they're both running the same system. And looking throughout their season, they really haven't changed their mode of operation due to their quarterbacks. They just keep operating at a high level.
Can you talk about the end of last week's game and just the emotion and you know, kind of the what you know how that all went down for you, even the Leon McFadden penalty and everything?
Those things happen in games. You know, they called a penalty, and so we had to line up at the 1 yard line and still defend that. That's what happened in that game.
What about just in general? I mean, starting back from the 11 play, you know, 82 yard drive. You know, your take on that? I'm guessing that you wish somebody would have stepped up and.
Yeah, you would like somebody obviously to step up and make a play. I don't remember exactly how much time was on the clock, two something. I don't recall that. But, you know, obviously in that situation, you're trying to milk the clock. And we did that for a while. But, yeah, we would have liked a pick, a fumble, a sack to change the tide of the game. And then, you know, when you put things out of your control, you leave things out of your control.
When it's a two-score game like that, which, I mean, I know you want them to have to take time to drive the length of the field. So, I mean, do you coach differently than you would a one-possession game where you, because you expect to recover the onside kick, I'm assuming? I mean, like, what's your mindset going in with 2:37 left, up by 12?
I didn't expect an onside kick because I was hoping that they wouldn't get down there. You're hoping for a turnover, for a sack, them to use all the time. And that was our operation, is to, you know, slow to, you know, meaning the clock down, meaning keep them in bounds, let it run, and make them go the long, hard way to get down there. I didn't factor in the onside kick at all.
Would you say you let off the gas pedal on the pass rush?
A little bit. Not off the pass rush, off the pressure. The pass rush was still there. We were rolling guys through, and I was counting on the four-man rush to get there.
When you look at Forte, especially catching the ball in the backfield, what challenges does that present? And then the fact that Vereen had a big day last week catching the ball, how did it affect that?
They're different type backs in that Matt Forte is probably the premier screen catcher in the game, meaning behind the line of scrimmage, and probably the best contact runner in the game, meaning hard to knock them down. They're different types of backs in the league, whether one's a scat back, which Vereen is, versus Matt Forte being a more balanced all-around runner, hard to get on the ground because he doesn't – low center of gravity, probably a better screen runner. So it presents to us a different challenge, and we're well aware of, I think, what his specialty is as far as screen game.
Going back to New England, did you think your two guys got jobbed on those penalty calls?
There's a subjective penalty, vision, play. You live with those. I'm sure they try to do the best job that they can. And the game is a fast game. It's hard. They don't get the chance to slow it down, and on those type penalties, to slow it down and look at them. They just call as they see. I assume it's a tough job to officiate a fast-speed game, and you just live with them. I haven't read any of the clippings, I don't believe anybody blamed anybody but us. I hope they didn't.
You've used Jordan Poyer, 31 plays. What did you think of his game, and why is he getting more playing time?
due to injuries, different packages, he's played well. He's a very instinctive, athletic player that has found a role. Obviously, we picked him up late in the year. I've been impressed with his attention to detail, his study habits, his athletic ability on the field, and he's merited more play time for us.
Is he more of a hot guy? He's probably going to be one of these guys, kind of a hybrid type of players that you can kind of move around.
He's been our punt returner. He's been our personal protector on the punt team. He's been our free safety. Probably in the offseason we'll try him at corner a little bit because he has that kind of rangy, hybrid-type body. I've been impressed with the kid that's just come in, and he's been a professional for us.
Ray, a lot of coordinators despise the term prevent defense. Mm-hmm. What's your feelings? Is that an apt description of what you played the last two drives?
Not the last two drives. The previous drive, yes. It was a slowdown drive. We didn't drop people. We didn't not rush four. And then the last drive was not preventative because we played aggressive man coverage the last drive because it was a different situation.
What is the dilemma you face and what to call there against a guy like Brady? Do you know automatically, nope, we're going to this?
No, I don't know. But the tough thing is what they did is he audibilized to a different play when he saw the coverage. Three times he checked to a different play. And so he put them in the right play for what we had. And that's the dilemma is, how do you protect against a guy that changes a play? You hope you stand up.
You have Marshall and Jeffrey, two essentially number one receivers. They're both big, physical guys. How do you approach slowing down those two? And are you confident that Joe Buster can help them?
This team is, Chicago, is a lot like Detroit in that they have weapons at every position. Brandon Marshall and Alton Jeffries have the most catches in the league. I think they have the most combined yards in the league. And they are both, in our mind, number one receivers. Then you put in Matt Forte coming out of the backfield. The quarterbacks are playing hot. So they present a challenge that you can't double everybody. You can't roll up to one guy because, the other guy's open. So what we plan to do is do kind of what we've done, roll things through, mix them up, jam them at the line, get off the ball, blitz them, play some soft zones, and make the quarterback again try to beat you. Because the wide receivers, the back, the tight end are all pretty good.
Back to Poyer, the hit he put on, I believe, was that on that touchdown. I mean, what do you tell him? What's the coaching? I mean, looks like a good clean hit.
It did. We teach you can't hit him in the head, you can't launch. That's what we teach. We teach within the rules. You cannot hit a guy in the head, anybody, and you can't launch.
Ray, is that rule changed in the new CBA? Prior to 2011, you weren't allowed to hit a guy in the head either, were you?
You could always hit a guy. You couldn't have a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Runners are not deemed defenseless players. You can hit them in the head. You cannot hit a receiver or another player in the head. And we don't teach that. We don't teach the launch because that's one of the key words. You cannot launch and you can't hit them in the head. So we don't teach that.
I understand. But my question is, how did that part of the rule change in the new CBA? Prior to 2011, was a defensive back allowed to hit a receiver in the head?
If they deemed it to be unnecessary roughness, it was always in the book. They have made a point of emphasis not to launch and not to hit defensive players in the head. And we go by the rule book, and not only for our guys, but obviously for their players too. We don't want to hurt somebody. We don't want to end a guy's career. But
I just was asking how the rule has changed.
The rule hasn't changed. The rule has been unnecessary roughness was a penalty, and now they've made a point of emphasis, not to launch and not to hit a guy in the head.
A lot of the guys that we walked up to after the game actually did blame the loss or, blame things on that 29-yard penalty. And you said you haven't seen the clippings and that you hoped nobody would blame it on anybody but themselves. So, but, everybody that I walked up to said, we got robbed.
There were 40, five 44 yards of penalties on two plays with, I think, within 30 seconds. That's a lot of yardage and penalties for a team that, you know, has a pretty good quarterback.
When you were saying about Brady changing the plays,
mm-hmm.
do your guys have the ability to change the coverages if they see anything like that, or is it just not enough time?
Not enough time, because all he did is, you know, he hand signals. One time he nodded to the guy. He gave two thumbs up to one guy. You know, you don't have time after two thumbs up to snap the ball to get it across the formation.
And then you're talking about the emphasis on not hitting the head. Does that contribute to what happened with TJ, you think?
I think league-wide, the comments I hear from players, defensive players, is that that's what they're forced to do because there are significant fines in the league. And case in point, if you go back to DeQuell's interception in, I believe it was the first quarter, I believe it was Amendola, I believe. It was either him or Edelman, I don't remember which one. On DeQuell's interception, if you look at his hit on DeQuell, it's exactly the same hit. So that's how tackling is now. It was unfortunate. I mean, that was an unfortunate hit. Let me say it this way. It was an unfortunate injury on Gronkowski.
Let's couple more questions. How important would it be? Krueger, we asked you about Krueger mm-hmm. a couple weeks. He had a really good game. Mm-hmm. How important will it be for both he and Mingo to finish the season strong and feel good about kind of the end of their season?
I think it's critical. For a number of players. A number of players have played very well, and I think what it does, especially for our outside linebackers who were, with the exception of Krueger, have all been hand-in-the-ground guys until this year. And we've asked them to do something totally different than they've ever done. So I think those are the guys, as you look forward to next year, will take the biggest leaps because it's a totally different thing for them. They'll be comfortable in the package. It's happened in this system before. We've talked about how those guys take the biggest leaps because they're doing something totally different than they've done, whether it was in college or in this game here. But there's been a number of players. Coach Chud's talked about, you know, how you finish often leads to how you play next year.
What makes cover so difficult to defend?
For me, it's playing him the last couple of years is, to me, it's his feet. You know how strong his arm is, and he's a smart quarterback and all that. But when you watch his feet and the ability to throw off the wrong foot to get the ball out quickly, I've been impressed, and because he's smart, strong-armed, everybody knows that. But to me, it's his ability to move in the pocket and to get the ball off sometimes on the wrong foot.
When you used to match up against North, calling plays, what made him a tough matchup for defensive coordinator?
Two things. One is his great screen game, and the other one was the unpredictability in what he was going to do in formations and motions and trying to get you into the position that he wanted you into.
I know that Gordon's is this extreme talent by himself, but does Norv play a role in the ability to get Josh consistently open every week?
I think so. I think, obviously, Josh is what you want, big, strong, wide receiver, and he's a mirror image of, really, Chicago's receivers. They're big, strong, athletic guys that have potential to be run-after-catch-type guys, and those are the type guys that you scheme to get either off motion or in bunch situations where you can't get up and bump and run them.
All right, thanks.